Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Aleph. We are on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis, last line on the Amud. We're beginning this morning with the words Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Topic of yesterday's discussion in the Gemara was Zugos, and basically when a person engages in an activity that involves pairs, so it makes the person more susceptible, more vulnerable to an attack. Attack from spiritual forces. Spiritual forces yesterday were divided into two groups. One was Mazikin. Otherwise known as Shadim. We're going to be speaking about them also again today in today's daf. And the second force of the supernatural is going to be the Kshafim, is sorcery and witchcraft. Okay, so as we pointed out yesterday, this is areas and arenas in which I know close to nothing about. The Gemaras, I understand from a most superficial level, but obviously there's no depth of understanding that I really have in the Gemara. But nevertheless, we went through the Gemara yesterday, explained it, organized it, and we're going to do the same thing today. The Gemara yesterday noted that in order to get to Zugos, in order to get to a pair, so it has to be mitzarif, it has to combine. Right? So if you have a drink and you take a break and then you have another drink, so that'll be mafsik, that'll interrupt the pair, and it therefore won't qualify as a pair. So for something to be a pair, you need siruf. Now, fair question to ask, which I'll just address quickly over here. Why are we here? Why are we discussing this now? So it was predicated on a question that the Gemara asked on Kuf Tesamud Beis, 2 days ago now. The Gemara asked the question, how can the Chachamim be Misakim? We know that on Seder night, so there's Dalakosos, mitzvah derabanan to drink 4 cups of wine over the course of the Seder. And 4 cups of wine, obviously, is 2 pair, and that's Zugos, and that obviously forms an even number, and shouldn't that be a concern? And that is a concern, meaning Talmud Bavli, as we discussed yesterday, the Amoraim of Bavel, they clearly were concerned about this issue. And they don't understand. How could the Chachamim institute such a thing? So the Gemara had 3 questions to answer that question back on Kuf Tes Amud Beis. Number one, Seder Night is Lal Shimurim. Number two, benching is a Koshal Bracha. Koshal Bracha doesn't get you to the number 4. I mean, obviously, numerically gets you to the number 4, but from a Zugo standpoint, won't get you to the number 4. It's a kosher bracha, it's kosher lishi. And finally, the third answer, Ravina, and Ravina's answer is that the 4 cups are not mitzaref. They don't combine. Each one of them is its own independent mitzvah. It's a mitzvah bifne atzma, and therefore, they don't combine to get to the number 4. Okay, so those are the 3 answers. Anyway, in the third answer, we had this idea of tziruf, of combination. So yesterday, the Gemara engaged in a number of different scenarios of what is mitzarif, what is not mitzarif. And now we continue. The Gemara is going to continue now in this discussion of what is and what is not going to be mitzarif. So picking up right where we left off yesterday, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol hamazug mitzarif chutz min hamayim. So anything which is diluted is going to be mitzarif with exception to water. Meaning, whatever drinks you're drinking doesn't have to be wine. It could be wine and something else. But if they're both diluted, so that is going to be mitzarif. That's going to be considered now a unit. And therefore, if you drink a pair of them, so then you make yourself susceptible. With notable exception being water, meaning water diluted is water. And so therefore, that does not qualify as a diluted drink. The Gemara continues, Rav Yochanan Amar, on the other hand, Rav Yochanan says, no, afilamayim. So, water can be considered a diluted drink. Now that obviously begs the question, how can water be considered a diluted drink? If you take water and you pour water into it, that's a diluted drink that's called water. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Amar Papa lo amar ne'ela chamim lego kuriri kuriri lego chamime. So Rav Papa now, in explanation of Rav Yochanan, says that when you're pouring cold water into hot water in order to make it a little less hot, or the opposite, you're pouring cold water into hot water to make it look, no, I'm sorry, I said the same thing. Or you're pouring hot water into cold water and make it slightly less cold. So under those circumstances, Rav Papa, in explanation of Rav Yochanan, that's dilution. Dilution over here doesn't mean exactly precisely what dilution normally means. But over here, just even a change of temperature is considered a kos mazug. And so therefore, if you have a second of that cup, according to Rav Yochanan, it'll be problematic. And if you have a third of this cup, so then it's going to be helpful. And then it'll land you on an odd number. So, avachamim lego chamim, eva kariri lego kariri lo. If I'm pouring hot water into hot water, so that's not diluted drink. And if I pour cold water into cold water, that too is not considered a diluted drink. Okay, so we've just concluded the Gemara's discussion regarding what is mitzarif, what is not mitzarif, and for the remainder of today's daf, so we're going to still be on this topic of susceptibility, vulnerability, making yourself now vulnerable to these spiritual forces. I'm Reish Lakish. We are in Kufiyat Alpha Medala, four lines from the top of the Amud. Arba Dvarim Aha Osa Osam Dhamma Barosho. Umis Chayv Benafsho. So four kinds of activities where if you do them, you're taking your life into your own hands and you're responsible. You're going to be held liable. You're going to be held accountable for not taking good care of yourself. And even if the results are disastrous, but upon meeting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's also going to be unhappy with you because the behavior was just simply irresponsible behavior, and that is Eloheina Nifne Meidekel Lakosa, going to the bathroom between a tree and a wall. All this is going to be explained in more detail, so I'm just going to rattle them off right now. Valver Beishnei Dekalim, walking between two palm branches. Hashosa Mayim Shulim, number three, drinking water that's borrowed. And number four, however, Amayim Shefuchim Vafilu Shefchaso Ishto Befanov. And number four is walking off over drained water, water that was spilled out. And even if your wife spilled it out, still walking over it is going to be dangerous. And so therefore, what the Gemara is saying over here is that these activities are going to elicit spiritual forces. Rashi and the Rashbam describe these spiritual forces as Ruach Ra. Okay, so we can call them a Mizikin also, and I'm sure there are, details and differences between them, but for our purposes, at least from my limited understanding, it's one and the same. But anyway, so this brings about very bad, makes you vulnerable to these spiritual forces, to the Ruach Ra. So let's go through each one of these four. Number one, Anifne Midekla Koso Lo Amar Nel Delesle Arba Amos. Aval Isle Arba Amos Le Samba. So you're going to the bathroom in a really confined area. Really confined area the Gemara defines over here as being within four Amos. So, but if the area is a more expansive area, so then Le Samba, so then there's no concern. Vichi Leisle Arba Amos, and even if it's a really confined area, four Amos. So Lo Amar Nel Deleka, Dircha Achrina, Avalika Dircha Achrina Le Samba. And also, we're talking about a dead end. We're basically, it's a confined area, and there's only one way to get in and the same way to get out. But however, if there are egresses in this confined area, so then also no need to worry. Meaning, the Shadim, the Ruach Ra, are going to have ways of getting in and out without necessarily having to damage you. The impression you get, or at least the impression I got, is that over here the Shadim are not out to get you, but if you put yourself in a position where they're only forced to confront you, they will confront you. That seems to be the operating principle over here, but of course I'm not sure, but anyway, that's what it seems to be. However, Ben Shade Dekam Lo Amaran, we're up to number two, and that is walking between two palm trees. Lo Amaran Ela Delo Paskinu, Rishos HaRabim, Mava Paskinu, Rishos HaRabim, Lesan Ba. When you're walking through two palm trees, so it's only going to be an issue if those two palm trees are somewhat contiguous one to the other. Let's say you have a Rishos HaRabim going right between these two palm trees, so the Rishos HaRabim is going to be serving as a separation between these two palm trees, and therefore you don't have you don't have a vulnerable situation by being between these two palm trees if in fact there's a Rishos HaRabim between these two. Number three. Hashos Amayim She'ulim Lo Amaran. Drinking water that's borrowed water. I'll be honest with all of us. I'm not clear exactly what that means, borrowed. Borrowed is the term that you use that when you're going to return something back. If you're drinking something, so normally the term that's used is not borrowing. Okay, we have other terms to describe that. Let's just simply say that it's borrowed water. I'll just use the same terminology as the Gemara. Not fully understanding what that is, but anyway, Hashos Amayim She'ulim Lo Amaran Ela Deshalinu Katan Avagado Leisanba. It's only if the child borrowed the water, but if the adult borrowed the water, so then there's no problem. Ve'afilu Shalinu Katan Nami Lo Amaran Ela Besade, and that's only out in the field where it's a concern. Lo Shchiche, where there is no other water sources, and so therefore the Mazikin are going to go to this particular water source. Avabir Deshchiche Leisanba. But if we're in a city where there are other water sources, so then you have nothing to worry about. The Mazikin will go to another water source. Again, it's that same idea which seems to present itself, which is that the Mazikin are not necessarily after you. It just happens to be that if you're carrying right now the only water source and they need it, for whatever reason, which I can't articulate, so then you put yourself in a vulnerable position. But if the Mazikin can get the water elsewhere and they don't have to bother you, they won't bother you. V'afilu besad dinami lo amarna ela I'm sorry, I lost my spot. And even in the field, that we're only talking about water. But the mazikin are not interested in wine. They're not interested in beer. They're only interested in water. Okay. Number four. However, amayim shefuchim, walking over drained water, water that was spilled out from the house, and now you're walking over it, so that also makes yourself vulnerable and susceptible. So lo amar nela dolav sekina ba'afra velo taf behu ruka avav sekina o taf behu roka leslan ba. So first of all, if you put a little bit of dirt over the drained water, or you put some spittle on top of the water, so then it removes the problems in ways which, of course, I cannot explain, but that removes the problem. V'lo amar nela dolo avar alayu shimshe v'lo avar alayu shisen nigre aval avar alayu shimshe v'avar alayu shisen nigre lesan ba. Also, where the sun hasn't gone over it, meaning the sun didn't shine on it, and 60 people haven't walked through it. But in either case, where the sun shone on it or people walked over it, so under those circumstances, no problem. And that's also talking about a situation where you're not a donkey, you're not wearing shoes. Aval. But if you're on a donkey, meaning your feet are not touching the ground, and on top of that, you're also wearing shoes, there's no concern. Now, the Gemara over here puts in the following clause, and that is that we're only talking about mazikin right now. The concern, the vulnerability that the Gemara has been dealing with in these four activities is only an issue of mazikin, right? Or as the Rashbam describes, ruach ra'a. But when it comes to kishuf, when it comes to sorcery, the Gemara says that when it comes to sorcery, so there, if there is sorcery that's involved, so we have to be concerned ourselves, even if you have all these things which we said are not going to be an issue, when it comes to the mazikin, will in fact be an issue as it relates to sorcery. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you a story. There was a person riding a donkey and he had his shoes on. And what happens was is that his shoes kind of like crumpled up and his legs, either they become paralyzed or they shriveled up, whatever the case was. In other words, once kishuf is involved, so then you have to put yourself on a higher level of protection. This idea, which the Gemara just articulated, that when kishuf is involved, there has to be even more precaution. So that's an idea that we saw clearly yesterday in the Gemara, yesterday in the Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that don't worry about the number 10, don't worry about the number 8, etc., etc. So the Gemara in yesterday's daf said that that's true, but that's only when mazikin are concerned. But when it comes to kishuf, so then you have to worry about even numbers, even higher even numbers. Good. And as long as we're here, we also saw that in the Rashbam 2 days ago. The Rashbam on Kuftes Amud Beis when the Rashbam was bothered. You know, Rava in yesterday's daf said, don't worry about the number 4. Meaning the only even number you need to worry about is the number 2, and that's it. And meanwhile, when the Gemara asked the question, Dal Kosos, how could there be Dal Kosos? So of one of the Amoraim, of one of the three Amoraim who gave an answer, Rav was one of those three Amoraim who gave an explanation of why we don't need to worry about the Dal Kosos. What do you mean we don't need to worry? Didn't Rav say that 4 is not a word, a number you need to be concerned about? So the Rashbam on the bottom of Kuftes Amud Beis, so he explains, yeah, you don't need to worry about the number 4 as it relates to Mazikin, but as it relates to Kishuf, you do need to worry about the number 4. Okay, so this distinction between Mazikin and Kishuf is a distinction now that we see 3 days in a row. Tana Rabbanan. We are in Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're halfway down on the Amud. Obviously, a continuation of this topic of discussion. Tan Rabban Shosha Ein Mamatzim V'lo Mismatze In V'Elu Hein. So there are three things where you should not either surround it or it should, nor should it surround you. V'Elu Hein, and they are Kelav Dekel V'Isha. Dogs, palm trees, and women. And V'Yeshor Memafa Chazir, V'Yeshor Memafa Nachash, some add to the list. Pigs, some add to the list, snakes. Now, that means to say that, for reasons which, again, I can't properly articulate, but it is it's spiritually damaging, and it makes yourself and it makes you so susceptible and vulnerable. If you find yourself between two trees, two dogs, two women, and so therefore you should avoid being that, or two men being between one woman, two men surrounding one woman, or not surrounding, but on the sides of one woman, or a palm tree, or a dog. The imam asin maita kante. Now the Gemara says, now if you find yourself to be between these two items, which the Braisa says you should not, so what should be the remedy? So amra papa niftach bekel v'niftach bekel. So find a pasuk in Chumash, opening up with the word kel, ending with the word kel. Rashi over here gives an example in Parshas Balak. So the and I guess the idea is that when you say a pasuk which opens and closes on the same word, so that is now going to be parallel to the situation where you have one thing on one side, same thing on the other side, and you're between them, and so the pasuk is going to mitigate and the pasuk is going to protect you. Tosus on the top of the Amud says, I thought you're not allowed to do that. Also, Leis Rapos, Bedivrei Torah, top Tosus on the Amud. So the Tosus says, yeah, you can't heal yourself with Divrei Torah, but Lahagin Shari. But over here, using it as a protective measure that you're allowed to do. Inami, the Niftach below, the Nafsik below. The Gemara gives an alternative explanation, but it's really the same basic idea. You quote a pasuk, opening and closing on the word low. Again, the Rashbam quotes over here, a pasuk from Parshas Balak. Anyway, so you say a pasuk like that, and that'll be protective to you. Hani betrayed the matzah lehu isha nida. So, there were two people that, find themselves two people now have between them an isha nida, a woman who is a nida. So im tchilas nidasa he horeges echad mehem. So if she's at the beginning of her nida of her menstrual cycle, so one of those two men are going to be killed. Im sof nidasa he mariva oseh beinayim. If she's at the end of her menstrual cycle, so her spiritual forces are going to be somewhat reduced. And we're talking only here only about a fight. The two men are going to end up fighting one with the other. Okay. Gaon, quoted often, the Vilna Gaon says that was Esther's plan. Esther, we know based on another Gemara, she was an Ida, and she had both Haman and Achashverosh in the same room together. And so by inserting herself between those two, so she's going to cast a spiritual force upon them, which will lead to Meriva, lead to fighting, and ultimately lead it to the demise of Haman. Anyway, Vilna Gaon. So Mike Takante, so what do you do over there? Niftach Bekel, Vinafsik Bekel. Okay, and again, same way of protection, quoting a pasuk that begins and ends on the word Kel. Hanitre Nashe Diyasvim Beparshas Derachim. Two women who are at the crossroads, Chadaba Hagisa Deshvile, Vechadaba Idach Gisa. And they're standing at two different ends of this crossroad, Omechavnin Apayuladade, and they're looking at each other. So you know what's going on? The Gemara says, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. Vada Bikshafin Askin, and they're involved in sorcery, Maita Kante. So what do you do? Ika Dircha Chrina Lezobam. First strategy, got this great idea. Go down another path. Don't go into the crosshairs of this of the sorcery between these two witches. Now, if there's no other pathway, so if there's no other way to go, so then grab a friend and literally grab a friend, hold on to his hand, and by the two of you walking together, somehow that's going to be able to provide for you an extra layer of protection from the kishuf. Now, if there's no other person, so this is what you should say. Okay, I don't know if I said the incantation right. I barely understand the incantation. The Rashbam over here basically says that these are names of various mazikin, and at the end you say that they should be speared, they should be put to death. Okay, some sort of incantation that will provide protection. Gemara continues. I'm on the Pagabisa beidna desalka mitzvahs mitzvah. Let's say you encounter a woman as she's coming up from mitzvahs mitzvah. It's time for her to go to the mikvah. She went to the mikvah and she comes up and you encounter her. So that and it's not your wife. It's somebody else's wife. So just the encounter by itself is going to be spiritually dangerous. So if he's the one now who's going to engage in relations with his own wife, and he does so first, meaning after the encounter. So what it will do is it will give him a ruach zenunim. It will give him very bad spiritual forces, right? It'll make him lascivious, and in other words, simply stated, it's not good. E'i kadmei mishamsha. And now if she has relations with her husband first, so same result. Ach v'leili didei ruach zenunim. So my tekanta, so the Gemara says, okay, so for either one of them, it's going to be bad, and it's going to have spiritual forces on them which are harmful. Is there a tekana? Le'mahachi shov baz al nedivim v'yitayim betolo derech. And the Gemara says, yeah, again, a pasuk that one can quote that can help protect them from the spiritual forces if they have such an encounter. Okay, at this point in time, hopefully you're wondering. Gemara and Brachos, Rav Yochanan. So didn't Rav Yochanan position himself so that women would actually see him as they were coming out of the mikvah? And isn't that going in direct opposition to what we just learned here in Pesachim and Kuf Yud Aleph? So it's such a simple question. So the Rashbam, oddly enough, doesn't ask the question. Now, I say oddly enough, Rashi didn't ask the question, that wouldn't bother me at all. Because Rashi's style is that Rashi doesn't need to be miyashi of all the Gemaras, but the Rashbam operates more like Tosos. He doesn't ask the question. But anyway, Tosos does ask the question. What you have to do over here is you have to turn back the page. For whatever reason, Tosos is somewhat misplaced. Tosos is on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, and Tosos is quoting our Gemara over here. It's a misplaced Tosos. Anyway, it belongs on our daf. It wasn't put over there. Okay. Anyway, third Tosos on the Amud, Haiman de Pagabisis of Echulei. The Hadam Rabbi Misha Mesa, so Tosa says, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf, Rav Yochanan Havakaz over Yosef Hashari Tevila. So Rav Yochanan was by the gate of the mikvah. He was by the entrance of the mikvah. Ki hechi di yaldan zara kav asei. So specifically put himself in that position, where they see him. Now, what was the point of Rav Yochanan? If we can remind ourselves. So the point was that Rav Yochanan was a very good-looking man. We know that in the encounter with Rav Yochanan and his brother Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish commented on Rav Yochanan's good looks. So we know that he was a really good-looking man. And so if the women look at him, so that means that they're looking at something which is easy to look at. So it'll influence the kind of baby that hopefully will be conceived that evening. Okay, so that was the idea. So and Rav Yochanan, and isn't he worried about inciting his Yetzirah? So the Gemara in Brachos asked that question. Okay, good. But meanwhile, however, what bothers Tosfos over here is obviously that our Gemara says is that you shouldn't put yourself in that position, period. And what's Rav Yochanan doing? So Tosfos over here has three answers to present in front of us. Number one, Hacha depaga be'esha ola men hamayim. Rav Yochanan ashari tvila yosef. So answer number one, says Tosfos, is that the encounter that our Gemara is describing is as immediately as she's coming up from the water, meaning she's not clothed. So under those circumstances, now either him or her are going to be affected by these negative spiritual influences. Rav Yochanan was talking was by the front door after she's dressed, and so it's not as bad a situation. It's not as bad as an encounter. Inami, it goes without saying, by the way. I'm embarrassed to say this, but nobody should practice like Rav Yochanan, meaning Rav Yochanan is not our guide on this kind of behavior. This is behavior that's done and only done by Rav Yochanan. Obviously, right? A woman after going into the mikvah, the first person she should encounter is really her husband. It's not going to be totally within her control, but obviously the halachas of tznius, it demands that she has to see her husband first. But this idea that Rav Yochanan positioned himself in such a way where she's going to see Rav Yochanan, so that's a behavior that's only done by Rav Yochanan and should not be imitated by anybody else. Okay, just to state the obvious. Inami, Tosfos gives a second answer. The story over there with Rav Yochanan. That was just talking about a pegia, an encounter. Over here in our Gemara, when noting that it should not be done, so our Gemara's lashon, so haiman de paga beisasa, meaning he was going out of his way to encounter a woman coming out of the mikvah. So inami Rav Yochanan Hayomer Shofich Boz, or maybe Rav Yochanan said the pasuk as a form of Hagana. Okay. Certainly a difficult issue, but Tosfos attempts to resolve how to understand our Gemara. Meanwhile, the episode with Rav Yochanan. I'm Rav Yitzchak. We are now back in the Gemara on Kufyad Aleph Amud Aleph, and about 7 lines from the bottom. I'm Rav Yitzchak, my dichsiv. Here we go. Another pasuk. Gam ki elach begeitz amav zlo yira rak yatai madi. Okay, pasuk we're all familiar with. In Tehillim. And what is that making a reference to? I'm walking begeitz amavis. So zeh yashem betzel dekel yechidi uvetzel levano. So a person who is sleeping alongside a palm tree, or right under the moon, in the shadow of the moon. So I'm sorry, in the shadow of the palm tree, or the shadow of the moon. So so that person is really going to is going to make himself susceptible and vulnerable. The English word for shadow and the English word shade. My best guess would be that probably is the derivative of the word shadim, right? It's pretty self-evident. Now, I could be wrong, of course, but that's what it certainly seems like a reasonable suggestion. Anyway, so to be in the shade of either a palm tree or the shadow of the moon, so that is going to put the person in spiritual jeopardy. But that's only if it's a singular palm tree. But if you have another palm tree alongside where the shadow of the neighboring palm tree is hitting this palm tree, there's no issue. We learned in the Braisa. Now, here the Braisa really mimics the same idea, but the Braisa says that if you're sitting in the shade of a palm tree in a chatzer, so that's a problem. Now, hey chidami. Now, why does the Braisa mention a chatzer over here? Now, if it's a singular palm tree where there is no adjoining palm tree, so then we said that's a problem even out in the field. So what we learned over here is that if you're in a chatzer is just simply a more dangerous location. Even if you have a neighboring palm tree, you still have to be worried about being in the shade of a palm tree in a chatzer. Now, being in the shadow of the moon is only a problem when it's in the west. Now, I'm not sure over here, we're talking about the shadow being in the west, or the moon being in the west, but presumably the shadow. But anyway, but that's going to be the issue. But if it's in the east, then there's not going to be an issue. We're on to the Amud Beis. As long as we're turning the page, I could have made this point at any point in time today in the daf. So how much do we, you and I, need to concern ourselves with many of these considerations of the Gemara? We don't live in a world of Kishuf and Mazikin, that we do some things to protect ourselves from Mazikin. Notably, the best example I could think of is the Negovasa that we do in the morning, washing hands in the morning. So the fact that we wash our hands in the morning, so that the Gemara Brachos tells us to do. And the fact that and the idea behind it, so either because we are brios chadashos, that's the Rashba, because yadai maskanios, so our hands are dirty, and our hands are dirty, and it's just simply we're not in a position to daven with having dirty hands. Our hands are we're all over the place over the night, and so therefore you want to wash them. So fine, so we wash our hands in the morning. But the fact that we take the cup and we put it over our hands in three times. Right, once on the right, once on the left, a second time on the right, a second time on the left, and then we do round three of that as well. So that's because of Ruach Ra. So so there are some behaviors that we do that protect us from the Ruach Ra, even out of Yom HaZeh, even to this day. We just went over a lot of rules and regulations of the Gemara in terms of what we need to do to protect ourselves from Ruach Ra. So how much of this do we need to be concerned with? So I don't have the perfect answer. But what I can observe, however, is that none of this made its way into the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch, who does tell us to wash our hands in three rounds, the way I just described, so that's in the Shulchan Aruch. But anything that we just read in today's Gemara is not found in the Shulchan Aruch. So an imperfect answer to the question of how much we need to be worried about is that it didn't make its way into the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch is telling us what to do and what not to do and what to be concerned with. So it would seem that for us who do not live in this world, we're spiritually sensitive. So therefore, these things are things that we just simply don't need to to be preoccupied with or concerned with. Okay. I say as a general answer to the question. We are now on the top of Kuf Yud Alpha Medbeis. Haiman demafne agirda dedikla. So somebody who relieves himself at the stump of a palm tree. Achtele lidide ruach palga. So he invites himself a certain bad ruach on himself. Haiman dematli reshe agidra dedikle. And somebody who puts his head in between a fence of palm trees. So achtele ruach tzarada is going to have ruach tzarada. Ruach tzarada seems to be some sort of splitting headache. So Haiman de Pase Adikle, somebody who steps on the stump. So, imprecise. Somebody who steps over the stump. So, E Miktal Katil. So, if the stump was cut, he's going to get cut, meaning killed. And E Akar Mi Akar Umaisen. And if the stump was ripped out, he's going to be torn out. Either way, he's going to die. Hanimila de la Manachare Ilave, Ava Manachare Ilave Le Samba. But that's only if you walk over the stump. But if you put your foot on the stump, so then it's not a concern. Chamishe tulehave, there are five different types of shades. Shades over here, I mean it both in the term shadim and in terms of shade. The English word shade. So there are five, and that is tule dedikla yichida, singular palm tree. We already discussed that in the Amud Aleph, and tule dekanda, another type of tree, and tule deparcha, another type of tree, and tule dezardasa, another type of tree. Whatever. I'm sure you can look up and find the definition of these trees. Now, in the Girsa we have in our Gemara, it goes right now into the words Ikadamri. But if you look at the Gaon, so the Gaon over here puts in the words Tula da Arvasa. And I like that because, you know me, I like counting. And so we only got up to four and we were promised five. So the correct Girsa says the Vilna Gaon is right now to add the words Tula da Arvasa, the willow tree, the shade of the willow tree. Put that in right now. That gets us to five. And now what we'll do, we'll go back to the Gemara, Ikadamri, Aftula de Arva, or the shade of a boat. And then the Tula de Arvasa, that the Gaon already took and put that at the number five slot. Okay, anyway. Klala de Milsa called the Nafish on pay Kashi Tule, v'chol de Kashi Silve, Kashi Tule. So I'll give you a general rule, says the Gemara. If there are a lot of branches, so then the shade is bad, meaning that's an area where the shadim congregate, and so therefore don't be there. And if there are a lot of thorns over there, also the shade of such a tree is bad. And again, somehow, some ways, in ways that I cannot explain, so that is it's a popular place amongst the shadim. Lavar mi karumasa, afagav de kashe silva, lo kashe tule. With exception to a notable plant, whatever it is, where despite the fact that it's got a lot of thorns, the shade of that tree is not bad. And a conversation was overheard between a shade and its child, which is really just an interesting sentence in terms of they regenerate, they populate, they have progeny. Okay, again, it's because I know so little about it, so that just in of itself just stands out as a curiosity. But anyway, so he said, well, you know what, you got to be careful about this kind of tree. It ended up killing your father, and it's going to end up killing you as well. So for whatever reasons, the shadim were not frequent by this particular tree. Rav Ashi Chazin la Rav Kahana de Parsh Mikulei Tulei. Period. Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana, his practice is that he didn't get involved in any kinds of shades whatsoever from any kinds of trees. He did not limit himself to the five trees that we just articulated, but Rav Kahana's practice is that he avoided all shades from all trees. Be Parche, new sentence. Be Parche Ruche, de Be Zardasa Shida, de Be Igre Rishbe. So the Gemara now is naming the shadim. So by that tree, it's that shade, and that tree, that shade, and so we're naming names. And Lamai Nafkamina, the Gemara says, and why do we need to know this information? L'kameya, so you want to write somebody a kameya, meaning somebody was attacked by a shade, and now you want to write a kameya, so you now know the name of the shade, and you can insert that into the kameya, right? Writing a kameya was a skill. The Gemara in Shabbos, if you remember, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about the ability to walk out on Shabbos while wearing a kameya, and only if it's written by somebody who knows what he's doing, right? Baduku manusa. Anyway, debe parche breisha einlo. I'm sorry, birya sheinlo einayim. So the shade by the Beit Parche tree, so it's a creature that doesn't have any eyes. It can't see where it's going. So the Gemara says, okay, so running away from it is not going to be much of a challenge because it can't see where it's going. So there was a time where a Talmid Chacham went to go relieve himself right by this tree, and Shama Asa Aile Vigazila. And so, hearing being attacked by these by the Shidim, so he runs away. So he got stung by the shade. He ran to a palm tree. He hugged the palm tree. And the palm tree blew up. Presumably, he blew up as well. So, parchid de bezardasa, shida hazardasa desmicha lamasa lo pascha mishis and shida. So, the Gemara describes this kind of tree that's close to the city, and it has a minimum of 60 shadim that are by this tree. So, lamay nafkamin. The Gemara says, okay, and again, it's important information, but why? Why do we have to know specifically the number? So lemichtav lekameya. So you want to write an amulet, an amulet that is going to be against the 60 shadim. And the Gemara tells a story. Ha'u bar kasha damasa da'azavakai gabi zardasa. So okay, so there was a guy who went right by the zardasa tree that was close to the city, and avasemach lamasa alu beishis and shide viista kain. 60 shadim attacked him, and now. He's in a really bad way. So he went to a particular Rav. It happens to be that this Rav did not know this information. Okay, so when you were a practicing rabbi at the time, so this is information you need to know. So he wrote a Kameya. But the amulet that he wrote was only to ward off one of the Shadim. So he was just 59 short of giving him a proper Kameya. Shama de Talu Chinga bigave, become mashru hachi, so now the shadim are having a party. This is an amazing story. The shadim are having a party. They're singing songs and suja demar kitzur b'merabanan bedikna bay b'mar v'deloyada barchata. So right, what a funny rabbi! What a silly rabbi! Right, he puts on a talis. He puts on a talis that makes him look like this big rav. And meanwhile, he doesn't know how to make a bracha. Interestingly, both the Rashi and the Rashbam over here says, which bracha is the Shadim making reference to? So they're making reference to the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'Sifara. Right? We're crowned with glory. And this particular Rav didn't have any glory whatsoever. He didn't know the basics about Shadim. Okay? Right? I'll say the same thing about myself. I also don't know the basics about Shadim. But anyway, at the time, this was knowledge that was necessary to be a practicing Rav. Okay, and the story has a good ending. And the ending is that he went to a different Rav, and the Rav knew that there were 60 Shadim, and he wrote him a Kameya to ward off the danger of the 60 Shadim. And in fact, they ran away. Okay. Last part for today. Ketev Meriri. So Ketev Meriri, it should sound familiar. So we find it at the end of the Sefer Torah. So what is that a reference to? It's a reference to Mazikin, to these spiritual forces, these spiritual damaging forces. Trey Katave Havu. So the Gemara over here is now going to give us some more detail regarding Ketev Meriri. So the first point is that there are actually two of them. Chad Mikama Tiara v'chad Mibasa Tiara. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. The Mikama Tiara Ketev Meriri Shmo. The one in the morning is actually called Ketev Meriri. And its appearance, it kind of looks like a mixing spoon. I'm not sure what that means, but okay. It gives us some sort of image of what it looks like. The Basar Tiara, the one in the afternoon, is Ketev Yishud Sarayim. So that is named Ketev Yishud Sarayim. Okay, the Pasuk in Tehillim, we say it every Motzei Shabbos. So anyway, Shmo, and that's his name. Umechze Be'karne De'ize V'hadar Be'kenafya. And, you're gonna find it between the horns of a goat, and it looks like some sort of sieve. Abai have a shakel v'azel, v'azel rapapa miyaminah v'ravuna bereid d'rav Yeshua mismalei. And the Gemara tells the following story, where Abai is walking, and Rapapa's on his right side, and ravuna bereid d'rav Yeshua is on his left side. Chazi alu lau ketev meriri d'kaasel lape d'smalei. And so now, an incoming shade, specifically ketev meriri, and he's coming in on his left side. Okay, so, So as they're looking forward now, the shade is coming in 10 o'clock. Okay, thereabouts. So anyway, so Ahadre l'Rav Papa l'Smala l'Rav Nachum Breder of Yeshua l'Yamine. And so Abai does the following. He takes Rav Papa and moves Rav Papa to the left side. So the Rav Papa will confront the shade. And he takes Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua and puts him on the right side. You can only imagine Rav Papa's not happy with this maneuver. Amalei Rav Papa. Ana maishna de lo chashashli. Rav Papa says, really, I'm expendable? I don't get it. You put me on the left side so I can confront the shade? Like, what's going on over there? So Amalei, so Abai says, at shaita kayim talach. So Abai says, not worried about you. I'm not worried about you because you have mazel. You have really good mazel. So we know, the Gemara tells us numerous times, that Rav Papa was extraordinarily wealthy. Rav Papa ran a beer business, and he did really well. And so what it informed Abai is that Rav Papa had a lot of good mazel. So when you have a lot of good mazel, so good, so you can confront a shade. And presumably what he's also saying is Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua did not have that kind of mazel. Okay, so a confrontation was going to happen, and it was just a question now of who's best to confront the shade. And he felt that Rav Papa was able to confront the shade. What comes to my mind, the Gemara in Kiddushin, they're about Daf Lamed, right? I may be off by a Daf, but anyway, the Gemara over there has an incident with Abaye, where there was a particular shade that was in the shul. And it was like a big snake. And I don't have the Gemara in Kiddushin in front of me, so I'm free soloing right now. Anyway, it was a big snake, but it was a shade. And what they did is they put Abai in a position where I forgot who the Amora was, but he told everybody in town, nobody give him a place to lodge. I want him to sleep in shul. He slept in shul that night. And he confronted the shade, and he defeated the shade. So Abai himself has experience with these kinds of incidents. I don't have a right to ask any questions over here. Why didn't Abai confront the shade if he was successful in the past? But anyway, let's just finish up. Michal b'Tamuz at Shitzar Bay, from the first day in Tamuz until the 16th day of Tamuz, v'adei shchichei. So what you're going to do is you're going to find lots of them. Mikan ve'elech, safik shchichei, safik lo shchichei. Okay, and you're going to then find them to be less populated. U'mishachei betulei dechatzva delo chatzav garmidei. And where are you going to find them? You're going to find them in the shadow of a barrel. But the barrel that is not an amalong. U'vetulei desafra u'panya delo chazav garmidei. Now, in the morning or in the late afternoon, so there where the shadow is cast as a longer shadow, so there you're going to find more of them. The Iker Betule de Beis Akise, and also in the shadow of the outhouse. Okay. We're going to stop over here. Amar Rav Yosef is where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. Okay. Obviously a difficult daf, not difficult because, I mean, some of the words were difficult, but difficult because it's hard for us to obviously to relate to any of this, right? It goes back to a time where we're shading, we're obviously a much more real concern as opposed to nowadays. But, Nevertheless, we got through the daf, and let's quickly review. I'm not really sure how to review a daf like today, but I'll give it a try. Yeah, but, you know, I organize. I put everything in different subject matters, but it basically comes out to the same point. You got to take care against the shading. Okay, we finished our topic of yesterday, but regarding what's going to be mitzarif to an even number. We talked about diluted drinks. They're all in the same category. Therefore, they're going to combine to get you to the number two. There are four dangerous practices that we started today on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, right? The relieving yourself in a very confined area outside, or walking between two palm trees, or drinking barred water, or going over drained water. Again, the Gemara goes into detail with all these four types of activities. And again, it's an area that's frequented by Shadim, and that's what you have to worry about. And then the Gemara made the point that we saw yesterday as well. When you don't have to worry about Shadim, you still have to worry about Kishuf. Kishuf is something that is going to be more dangerous, and even the protections that you have against Mazikin are not going to protect you against Kishuf. You have to build a bigger firewall against the Kishuf, if you will. Three things that a person should not be standing between or should not be surrounding: dogs, palm trees, women, and a couple of others add to the list as well. Seeing a woman as she's emerging from the mikvah, so that brings about very bad spiritual forces. And we dealt with the Tosos on that's found in Kufi Raman Aleph in terms of how Rav Yochanan could practice the manner in which he did when our Gemara clearly says that you should not do so. And three answers given by Tosos. We talked about being in the shadows as we're now in the bottom of Kufi Aleph Amad Aleph. So being in the shadow of a palm tree, so that's no good. And on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we talked about walking over a tree stump, which was also no good. Five different types of trees where the shades of those trees are extraordinarily dangerous areas, where there is congregations of shadim in the shades of those trees. We identified the five trees, or I didn't really, but you know what I mean. Right? We went through the five trees, and we noticed the practice of Rav Kahana is that he was concerned about the shadow of any tree. And he didn't just limit it to the five. We saw a fantastic story about a Rav who wrote a Kameya to try to help somebody, but not knowing the basics regarding Mazikin. And so even though there were 60 Mazikin that attacked him, the Kameya that was written was only for one. And the Gemara was very critical about this rabbi who didn't do much in terms of helping. And the last thing that we discussed today was the shade known as Ketev Meriri, which is actually found in the Torah. The name of the shade is found in the Torah. So, and the Gemara goes into detail. There are two of them, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. One in the morning is Ketev Meriri. The one in the afternoon is the Ketev Yashud Saharayim. Anyway, and the Gemara goes into a little more detail in terms of discussing them. Ad Kan, we stop here. Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we pick it up at the bottom with Amar of Yosef.